This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Radio Wasteland.
Darlings, and welcome back to another episode of Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara. Tonight's guest is Tim Woolworth. We'll be talking about spirit boxes and the paranormal, but first up, Kara, do you have any news for us?
Yes, I do. So first off, in civilization-ending pandemic news, we have the only story anyone's talking about, the coronavirus. The question on everyone's mind is, of course, will we all die? And, well, yes, but probably not from this. If coronavirus were going to kill everyone, we would probably be aware of that by now. However, that doesn't mean it isn't a nasty customer, much like SARS and MERS before it, two famous coronaviruses from previous years. 2019 NCOV has sickened thousands and killed a few dozen, 80-something as the last count, and is just hitting its stride. Nonetheless, this coronavirus imparts a grim lesson. When, not if, some ultra-deadly zoonotic disease emerges from the meat markets in China, we can't expect that it will be contained very well. China's initial response to the virus was to jail people who were warning about it, and they allowed over 1,000 people out of quarantine. Coronavirus is now on every continent except Antarctica, so if worst comes to worst, we could always go chill with the penguins. A man in Wigan, England, captured an odd photo of a UFO last week. The craft, if indeed that's what it was, resembled three colorful orbs, which apparently remained motionless for approximately 20 minutes before shooting into the sky at an incredible speed. The man captured a picture of the UFO during that time, and it is every bit as odd as his account makes it sound. Quote, "How can you account for that? How can that be anything like a plane? It's impossible," said the witness. Quote, "I'm a businessman, an intelligent guy, and someone who has always been described as a skeptic," he went on to say, "but I was stunned, to say the least. Absolutely mesmerized." Lastly, Bigfoot was spotted again in Washington, and now there's video. 2 days after a mysterious figure was photographed on Sherman Pass, a similar figure was captured on video crossing the road in Snoqualmie Pass, some 200 miles from Sherman Pass. Other two sightings related? Hard to say, but the video itself is rather compelling. To me, it looks like some sort of gorilla just ambling along, but walking more like a person, on two legs, not on its knuckles. Weird stuff. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. You know, this coronavirus, you know, it's all over the news, and I can't tell if it's, you know, how much sensationalism is to this. You know, we do have to acknowledge that while China is shady, that they did make a medical step that was really kind of unheard of. The city of Wuhan is like population of like 11 million or something, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, it's enormous.
For them to put that amount of people on quarantine is just shocking and unprecedented.
You're referring to China's measures in the quarantine, not the virus itself, which is anything but unprecedented.
No, yeah, just in the quarantine, it's amazing that they took it to this level.
It is difficult to imagine, you know, a Western country doing anything close to that.
And then I heard on the news that they think it might have hopped from a bat to a snake to a person when it was eaten.
Yeah, I mean, something like that. The China's sort of meat markets, live animal markets, all that kind of thing, it's kind of a hotbed for diseases to jump from one animal to another, which is really how diseases get going. Diseases that cause harm are almost always like out of their element, right? Like a disease isn't trying to kill its host. Ideally, it stays in the animal it was evolved to stay in. it's only when it happens to find a new host that you get into problems because, you know, then the bacteria or virus or whatever is freaking out and we're freaking out and the immune system is freaking out. Oversimplified version, but basically whenever you have a situation where humans and different types of animals are in really close unsanitary contact, you've got a really big chance of harmful mutations.
Right. And, you know, one thing that kind of blows me away with it, though, is, you know, I'm no scientist, but it seems shocking that it would be able to go from mammalian to reptile back to mammalian. That seems...
Well, you know, we're talking on a cellular level, right? Or a subcellular level in the case of viruses. And on that level, well, you know, scales or fur or whatever, we're all organic beings, right? You know, the cells of one type of animal don't tend to look too different from the cells of another type of animal, at least as far as something as teeny tiny as a virus is concerned. It's all yummy, yummy proteins and acids.
Right, right. Yeah, the flesh-eating virus did not specify the flesh. It just said flesh in general, you know.
Exactly. Any flesh. It is not picky.
And then UFO sightings. I'm always happy to hear a UFO sighting from a businessman, a person who,
indeed.
Although there's something suspect about somebody who says, I'm a businessman. It makes me want to be all like, what kind of business exactly? I don't think I've ever said I'm a businessman.
I sell these powerful supplements that replace all known medicines.
Marketing pyramid of snake oil salesmen. I'm a businessman, you know.
Yeah, so this guy, he reported his name to the newspaper, apparently. The local, like the Wigan Press is where this was reported, like the local city newspaper, but did not want it to be published, which I guess I don't know how I feel that affects the credibility of the story. On one hand, like, if this guy was just an attention seeker, like, maybe he wouldn't do that.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe he would want his name published, but on the other hand, he is anonymous, so it kind of absolves him of any culpability if it turns out to be a hoax or something. So,
well, I'll be sure to get that picture up on the website, which is radiowasteland.us, and I will also get this Bigfoot video. You say there's video?
Yes. Yeah, there is. It's not long. It's like 30 seconds, and it just shows this creature walking into the distance. Now, it's very much in the classic close enough that you can tell there's something odd about it, but just far enough away that there is deniability as to what this creature actually is, and right. It's impossible to draw any real conclusions.
It's blurry and the camera's whipping around?
The camera's stationary, and it's not super blurry, it's not super good quality either, but I don't know, maybe it's too much to hope that one of these days Bigfoot will come right up to the camera.
Well, if the zoo has taught me anything, if you want to see Bigfoot up close, you got to start feeding it.
That's true.
Now, maybe we need to start leaving out snacks.
Well, we need to figure out what Bigfoots eat. I mean, I think the conventional wisdom is that they're omnivorous.
Jerky, I thought it was jerky. Wasn't it jerky? All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for our guest, Tim Woolworth. We're talking about the paranormal. We're talking about spirit boxes. And mainly we're talking about how to quantify tracking paranormal spirits. Don't miss out.
All right.
Places like I knew. You got me walking up and down the road 8 days a week. This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Step right up to the historic Cascade Theater for an evening of engaging family entertainment when Cirque Mechanics returns to Reading February 11th. Part mechanical invention, part high-flying circus, Cirque Mechanics' new show plays tribute to the lore of the 1800s circus with acrobatics, aerialists, mechanical marvels, and a bit of clowning around. Don't miss this spectacular show February 11th. Get tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Tim Woolworth. Tim, you recently made a change from, maybe not recently, okay, so you made a change from being what you would consider a traditional paranormal researcher to instrumental transcommunication. You know, that's probably a great place to start out. You know, what is instrumental transcommunication?
Instrumental transcommunication, often abbreviated ITC, is the use of any independent third-party instrument to record and play back communication from a discarnate consciousness of an unknown origin. Basically, what that means is you're using a piece of equipment, an instrument, to communicate with something that wishes to communicate with you. Most importantly, you can record this communication and play it back. So a great example that people who may be familiar with the paranormal is EVP. EVP is a form of instrumental transcommunication. There is a consciousness that wants to have willful communication with you. You put down your particular recorder and you're able to play that evidence back. That is instrumental transcommunication in a nutshell.
So So it seems to me like it's sort of a change from the recreational and the fun to kind of coming at it from a more scientific approach. You no longer want to just track and write down your experiences. You want to have something as much as one could say tangible.
Well, yeah. If you're going to make progress in any field, you need evidence. Any of the sciences are like that. Every piece of research that's ever done, you need evidence, whether it's an English paper where you're supporting your views with someone else's work, whether you're a lab scientist who is doing research to get evidence to progress with grants and more research, or even in the paranormal, we need evidence. And ITC is one of the premier forms of obtaining evidence in the paranormal, because it allows us to communicate with the other side. It allows the other side to communicate with us. It's a lot different than your typical ghost hunter who walks through a building with an EMF detector or a little device that has beeps and lights. And somehow that your typical ghost hunter will equate this to paranormal activity, where you don't know who or what that you are measuring at any point in time when you're walking around with an EMF detector. It could be somebody's cell phone. It could be a walkie-talkie. It could be a speaker from a car driving by on the street. Whereas with ITC, what we're doing is we're laying different forms of groundwork for communication from the other side, to where we at least know that the communication has a much better chance of being genuine than a beep on a little black box.
Well, would an EMF detector, let's say, be considered a part of an ITC system, though?
Not really, because with the basic definition of ITC, when you're using EMF, you're not getting communication from a consciousness. You're not getting any information relayed to you, and you're not being – you can play it back, obviously, if you record it via camera, but you're not getting conscious communication for the most part. Some people will equate like a K2 meter, let's say, which is a standard piece of equipment a lot of ghost hunters use, with lights on for yes or lights down for no. But – we simply can't equate that to consciousness control, but we can possibly equate that to our own psychokinetic abilities, which is a fascinating aspect of parapsychology and ITC. We found that in ITC, you can actually record the discarnate consciousness of people who are known to us. On several instances, I've been able to record the voice of people I know through my devices who are alive and well. So what that does is it throws everything we know about the paranormal right out the window, because if I can record somebody's voice who's in California and I was in New York and their voice is coming through an ITC device, what's happening is consciousness is being shown to be non-local, and it's also showing that consciousness can affect our equipment in investigations. So when a ghost hunter walks around and says, hey, can you turn this light on for yes, we have no idea whether it's an external consciousness doing that or it's a consciousness of the investigator itself willing that light to go up to yes. And there's no discrimination when you're dealing with EMF and non-ITC. With ITC, at least, we have audio evidence or visual evidence of the discarnate consciousness that's trying to communicate with us.
So I think I'm getting a little confused on what types of equipment would be considered ITC and which ones would not. So why don't you maybe list me a couple pieces of equipment that I would put in the ITC category?
Oh, simple. So audio recorders are a given. ITC started with EVP going back to the 50s. That's just been one of the benchmark standards. photography goes back even further than the 50s, where you can photograph something. You can actually see it. You have the evidence. You can send it to other people to review. Video ITC is one of these great things that's really underdeveloped in the States, but it's practiced quite a lot over in Europe, where you set up video ITC loops and get full faces and torsos forming in the snow, basically, on your television. There's Steam ITC. There's a group in France called IFRES, which is doing amazing work with steam, lights, and sound waves. And they're getting full-bodied apparitions forming. There's scrying, another example, where it goes back centuries, where you can sit down with a bowl of water, agitate it with a light and a camera, and you can get full faces forming in a bowl of water or rheostatic liquid or anything else. These are all different forms of ITC that you can use, whereas a little box that beeps is not, because you don't know. You can't assign anything that's communicating to you.
I get it. So it's just the margin for error is just way too large on something like that.
Oh, well, not only that, most investigators don't know what their boxes are actually measuring. They don't know whether it is static electricity or ions or anything else from the EMF spectrum. I mean, people are walking around with K2s. K2s are an AC meter. AC is strictly man-made. It does not occur in nature. But yet people are using it on investigations. And if you walked up to any average investigator and asked them what the difference between AC and DC is, they probably couldn't even tell you. A lot of these boxes out there, I hate to say it, but they're marketed for ghost hunters because they make sounds, they have lights, and they beep. And when there's a beep, there's an anomaly. Therefore, it must be paranormal.
All right. Well, we're coming up on a break here. You're listening to Tim Woolworth here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back. There's a lot more.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros is open 7 days a week. Fast and convenient, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And they even towel dry your vehicle. They accept cash or card with no extra charge. Quick and Clean Car Wash, located at 1210 Market Street, downtown Reading. 530-243-4211.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Radio Wasteland.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Tim Warworth. We're talking about instrumental transcommunication and basically paranormal research. You know, it seems like with your move to instrumental transcommunications, you have drastically cut off the amount of proof you get to look at, because notoriously these things are difficult to find any proof. It's hard to find that photo. It's hard to find that image. It's hard to find that video of a ghost.
No, I agree entirely. It's, to be frank, that's the way it should be. When I look at investigator team pages and they're out there, they're like, oh, I went into this house to investigate and I got 30 EVPs, and then you listen to them and, you know, you get the classic high EVP, which happens all of the time on team pages, and it's usually just somebody breathing on an investigation. EVP is still the best tool for investigation out there, as long as you can control the environment. The way you control the environment is putting down cameras in the room so you can see if anyone's lips are moving, setting up multiple recorders side by side by side and in different sections of the room, which is fascinating. I've been on investigations where you put three recorders side by side and only one of them picks up an EVP. That just, it kind of blows my mind when they choose equipment like that to impress upon. But when you are dealing in the realm of ITC, we want to be able to communicate with that consciousness that's out there. I'm not saying go and throw all of your investigation tools in the bin, because you never know. You may get subsequent evidence to back up your assertions, such as a communication comes through, and let's say on a ghost box, a classic piece of ITC, where you ask the entity that you're communicating with if they can turn on a flashlight, for example, and they say yes, and the flashlight turns on, then you have evidence across two different spectrums, and it works really nicely that way. And it's interesting. I've done investigations where, for example, we have a ghost box set up, and playing poker at the same time. And we ask the entities on the other side what should be bet, what is this person holding in their hand, stuff like that. And it actually comes through the box, which just is fascinating. So you can use ITC in tandem with other equipment. But if you're out there working with an EMF detector and a flashlight that you screw the tip on or off to try to make it flash, then you're really not doing research. You are looking for anomalies.
Every time I hear the word anomaly, I can't help but to think of all of Star Trek The Next Generation. You know, a lot of people out there, I've had a guest on before who talked to me about ghost boxes. I think we moved off the topic really quick. I did not land with a good understanding of what a ghost box was. It sounded like it was tuning in a frequency. I'm a musician, so I've played like Moog oscillators and stuff like that. Is it like an oscillator?
It kind of is. Ghost boxes, they kind of function on the same idea as early EVP. I'm not sure if you're familiar with like the work of Jurgensen and Radova and Sarah Estep and the progenitors of ITC. What they did when they were recording EVP is they had reel-to-reel or cassette, and what they would add in the background is a little interfrequency static, that static that's between two radio stations, just a slight burble in the background. And what was found was that the frequencies, as an audio man, you understand white noise. It's a bunch of audio frequencies just meshed together, making a huge noise. So what happens is, by whatever means that they are emanating their communication from the other side, it is blending with the white noise. And through something called stochastic resonance, where you have a carrier wave and where frequencies match up, they become much louder. Through stochastic resonance, the waves that they are emanating from the other side come through. That was the early days of EVP. We move to the digital days where everybody has a digital recorder. Digital recorders have an integrated circuit in them, integrated chips. Integrated chips are inherently noisy, but there are filters built into these recorders so you don't hear that. But the noise is still in the background. It's being transformed into EVP on your digital recorders. You move forward to ghost boxes. So ghost boxes, basically you're using a radio band. And you're sweeping up and down the band either in a linear or a random fashion. The classic analog boxes are typically linear. There are only a couple random programmers out there, a handful of boxes in the world that can do it properly. So when it's sweeping up and down, what you do is you apply tuned voltage to it. And this voltage allows you to speed it up or slow it down, or if you got a random box, to make jumps. So you can sweep up and down and control the rate at which it's going up and down. So when it's going up and down a radio bandwidth, what you are getting is snippets of noise. It's typically on any given station for less than a tenth of a second, and you're getting all that white noise. So all of a sudden you've got all this noise in the background for communication to ride on, and that's where we believe ghost box communication comes from. And there's several different classifications of communication that comes through. Sometimes they will use a snippet of a song, for example, to formulate a section of a sentence. There are other communications that are breakthrough, where you will get conversation level talking to you like I'm talking to you right now, with no interference whatsoever on the other side. There's like choral communications that come through, where it's like a chorus singing to you. And that's the way they communicate. There's all of these different forms of communication that are actually coming through ghost boxes. And it's all because of that little white noise we have in the background.
We're trying to pick up other ways that they interact with frequency because they're just not doing it loud enough or in a way. Like, you know, when I speak, obviously air is moving through my voice box, which is vibrating, which is causing that to happen. Obviously, they don't have this. But the idea is that they're communicating by changing other aspects of the world around us.
Yeah, well, one of the interesting things that you just mentioned I'm pushing air through your voice box. One of the really cool things that we've discovered, I mentioned earlier about the voices of people who are alive coming through ghost boxes. You can actually, I've got three examples on my site, ITC Voices, where you can listen to the person's voice coming through a ghost box and then the person saying the communication directly afterwards. And one of them is so crystal clear that I ran it through a spectrogram. And you can actually see the lines of frequency, and they match up pretty much going all the way up, which blows my mind, because when you think about it, everybody's voice is different. It's like a fingerprint, and it requires that whole action and that whole thing of pushing air through the lungs and through the vocal cords and whatnot. So if you've got a voice coming through a ghost box and the voice of a person living and the frequencies match up, that blows my mind, because it should not be possible.
So what you're saying is that, like on an audio recording, we'll see the peaks and the valleys of the person's voice and the timbre. And you're saying that the spectral graph, where we're basically looking at the effect on the carrier signal, is basically peaking out and valleying out in the same ways?
Correct.
Yeah, that's wild. That is wild.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is, which tells me that somehow either it is a perfect imitation of a voice, or the consciousness that is coming through the box, it could be from another breathing entity somewhere, whether we have, I don't know, doppelgangers in another dimension of ourselves. I simply don't know. We have no idea how this communication is being formulated from the other side. It's been predicted. There were several transmediums in the 30s who predicted that radios would allow communication from the other side, and that it would allow the emanations from the other side to be made audible for us through radio. This was predicted in the 30s and by transmediums, and it's finally come to fruition. We are now there. It started in the 50s with EVP, and now we can actually have real two-way communication, real two-way conversations in real time.
All right, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to Tim Woolworth here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back, or you're going to miss out.
I can't control myself. I can't control myself. I can't control myself. I can't control myself. Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Go to readingcivic.com where you can sign up and become a friend of the Civic for just $100. You can pre-purchase tickets before the general public, get two free drinks at the River Rock Cafe, and have ticket exchange privileges. If you're looking to be informed about some of the best concerts and events in the North State, go to readingcivic.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center. Caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Radio Wasteland.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Tim Woolworth. We're talking about paranormal investigation using instrumental transcommunication. Basically taking paranormal investigation from the world of a feeling and a fear to a level of measurable scientific method research, or as close as we can get when studying something you don't know. You know, I am a web developer, I told you, and a big part of my job is researching stuff that I don't know. I always wanted a website called Jargon or something where I could go there and just see a list of the terms that I might need to understand for what I'm about to learn. And paranormal research, it's like it's purely reverse engineering. There is no, there aren't even, now that the scene has created consistent terms, but there weren't consistent terms because we don't really know what we're looking at, but you seem pretty convinced that whatever it is conscious. When I was younger, I saw a movie. I'm a horror movie fanatic, a movie called The Stone Tape, which was a television play from England where basically something tragic had happened in a castle and the experience was kind of carved into the rock. so that the, when the wind blew, we could hear it and it kind of happened around us, you know. But you're pretty convinced that this is something conscious, not just a residual energy. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that the whole concept of residual hauntings really needs to be visited in the paranormal field. What we think of with residual hauntings is based on, you know, the stone tape theory, which is classic, where you've got an entity that's walking around that is completely and totally inured to the world around them. You can't interact. They're in the stone tape theory, she would come down the stairs every night at a certain time, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the classic lady in white. You know, you see her on the stairs, you can't talk to her, she doesn't interact, blah, blah, blah. So what I personally think is that in our paranormal field, we love to throw around terms like quantum and all of this stuff without any basic understanding of science. That is just one of the common things that researchers, well, ghost hunters do all the time, and they're throwing around terms they don't understand. One of the things that we do need to look into is physics, and we need to understand just tangentially what residual haunting is that we need to understand that is not something that is Einstein and relativity, a shadow of a former era of some tragedy that happened that's replaying itself. I think residual hauntings are actually those particular moments in time. They're actually living their life, and we're getting a glimpse of it. It's like a minor tear in the veil, but it's not to the other world. It's to a world that's actually existing at the exact same time. So that woman walking down the stairs is walking down the stairs just like you or I would. And in her own little world, and we're getting a glimpse of it. We see that all the time, like when you go to Gettysburg and you get cannon fire or soldiers yelling through EVP or ghost boxes. They're living that life at the moment, and we're just getting a glimpse of it. I don't know why we get that particular glimpse, why there's that minute tear that comes through and we can see what's happening at that moment in time. But I firmly believe that what we're witnessing is that moment in time. We're witnessing that woman walk down the stairs, and she is just living her life walking down the stairs, and we're just getting a glimpse of it.
So you don't think it's like some sort of like purgatory, stuck on earth, stuck in their ways sort of thing? It's more like we're seeing a distant reflection in an infinity mirror, you know, as it goes on. Of course, it's a little bit behind. And when we see it, we may see it as the past, but really it's just what happened.
Well, we're seeing it as the past, but it's actually the present for that entity that's in the middle of it.
Right. Yeah. Huh, that's wild, you know, because this whole concept of purgatory, stuck on earth, freedom from the house, seems to be a mainstay in paranormal research.
Oh, it is, because there are other areas that we haven't touched on, like the near-earth realm and what happens after you die and where you pass through to. Touch on it briefly. Basically, when you die, there's the archetype of the tunnel of light. This has been studied ad nauseum. It goes back through our history. I mean, you go back to the 16th century, and Hieronymus Bosch is painting the tunnel of light with angels walking you through it. I mean, it's been part of the human condition for as long as humans have been alive. And in our modern day, we've started to record near-death experiences and people coming back through, thanks to Raymond Moody, for example, who kicked it off for basically the entire world with Life After Life. People are having these near-death experiences, seeing the tunnel coming back. Now, there are a lot of people like us, when we die, you don't have to go through that tunnel of light. There are a lot of reasons people don't, like they're waiting for family, they want to look after their business, their estate, they're confused, or one of the most popular ones is most people have some semblance of Christianity in the Western world. Everyone's a sinner. When you die, Well, you die to sinner, you're going to go to hell. The light, oh my goodness, it's God, there's judgment, I want to avoid it. So what happens is you can walk away from this particular light. You never quite lose the light, but it will get dimmer. I've recorded voices saying that the lights are everywhere and all kinds of stuff that lead to the tunnel of light. It's really fun. But basically, in the near earth realm, it's populated with people who have not gone through the light, or are people who, where the light is so dim where they're not ready to go through the light. They call it, you know, in modern woo-woo terms, it's low vibration people. Either they died tragic deaths, they're murderers, rapists, bad people, confused people, and people who avoided the light. And they're in the near earth realm. I myself and a lot of other ITC researchers believe that a lot of the communications that we're getting are actually from people in the near earth realm. They can interact with our particular world. They can interact with us. They can interact with our equipment, but they're basically the ephemera. They're the hauntings that we're dealing with on a regular basis.
All right. Well, Tim, we're coming up on the end of the interview here. You know, how can people find out more about you and find out more about instrumental transcommunication?
Oh, there's a lot of ways out there. There's plenty of instrumental transcommunication websites out there. I run itcvoices.org. It's been online since 2010, dedicated to ITC. I run paranormalstudy.com, which is dedicated to all different forms of the paranormal. We are now launching the Metascience Foundation. It's a relaunch. It was an ITC organization that was worldwide that went defunct about 25 years ago, and we bought the rights to it and are relaunching it, myself and a bunch of other ITC researchers. That website will be online in short order, and you can always find me at timwoolworth.com, which will give you the upcoming events where I'm speaking and some articles and other things.
Well, sounds good, and we'll be happy to share those links as well. You've been listening to Tim Woolworth here on Radio Wasteland. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope to have you back on.
Cheers. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.